Good morning. Hello, hello. Oops. Don't do that. Let's see. I wonder if they're going to turn the light on for me or not, or if I'm going to have to do it myself. Ah! They told me not to touch that light switch, but half the time they keep me in the dark. Okay. Don, please. Happy Father's Day. Do we have any fathers present? We have a few. And our fathers are still coming. So welcome. And let's see, who do we have special? Carol, this is your second straight time back of late. And so we appreciate that. Here comes Cheryl, and who knows where Tom's at, flapping his gums. And Mike, of course. They're probably not going to make it in here. All right, and you all are who you are. So there they come. Yes. Da-da-da-da, da-da-da-da. Well, I have to say, Mike, you were on the bride's side, so I guess you're the bride. And Tom's a proud father. Red, yeah. Okay, so I think we did enough damage already. Who has a colored bulletin insert? Come on. Yay, Joanna. Give her a hand. And Cheryl. Wow, look at that. Beaming just like this. They've got a close bond today, a close bond. Do you guys want to move your chairs to the middle? And this, you should. Oh, yeah, of course, yes. I'm not sure. Kathy's so upset she didn't get one. She's leaving. Thank you. You're welcome. Okay, let's see what we've got. I think the first thing, although I didn't double check it, yes, it's there. Yes, last Monday we had the privilege to be part of a garbage crew for Helping Hands Healing Hearts. We had two Trader Foles plus some from a home in Laclede, we just call it a hoarding place, to the dump site out north. And this was our wonderful garbage crew, Hollis and Kathy, and Mike, and yes, me, and Sweaty Bready. Oh, that's what I was going to do. Okay, speaking of which. So anyway, give that crew a hand. This is kind of like a mock late posed picture because we forgot to take a picture, which was probably for the best that we didn't take a picture of what we were actually dealing with. So anyway, thank you. And Sweaty was part of the crew. This is my Father's Day gift from my son, Sweaty Bready. Thank you, Sweaty. I just wanted to show that off. Yes, yes it is. Thank you. Okay, so then, what? You just settle down back there. Don't make me come spank you. Just like, okay. And I think everyone has turned in the baby bottle so far that two more to come. Okay, so there's that. And then Bible study Wednesday night, we made five verses. We got through five verses last Wednesday, so we're moving right along. And yeah, so there's that. Thank you. Next Sunday will be our last PJ7Ps. I'm sure you're looking forward to that. And we'll have a time of food and fellowship tomorrow. Oh, this was it. I remembered. What's your name again? Mike, what's her name? Her. Yeah. Her. Hey, you. Beth Ann. We will also be having communion next Sunday.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Beth Ann has a special place in her heart for that. So, anyway, just wanted to make mention of that. And then Sunday the 4th, Pastor Hollis will be sharing a special message about freedom, and unfortunately it falls right on the 4th. So anyway, JC's race, I wish Brooke was here to say a little bit more about that, but Sue, do you want to chime in anything extra about that? Well, I was wondering, if you're not going to be able to be here, you can still contribute, right?
Yes.
What does that take? Just giving Brooke a check?
I think you can donate it to give it to her, and she can put it in there.
Okay, otherwise you can participate in this race, sign up and
it's $25
to sign up and participate. Okay. So
you don't have to walk it, run it, you can just donate to it, whatever.
Okay. And the funds get kind of divvied up and go to the three different
two
kids? Oh, I thought there were three. So anyway, Colton is one of those for that July the 11th, and we're going to be in Ohio, so we won't be here. But anyway, there is a poster out there on the bulletin board as well. And along with that, I don't think we are putting this up yet, but Jordan and Rosie's wedding, the 24th, is also posted back there. Okay. Aha. So here you have on the front of your bulletin, Happy Father's Day, and from Deuteronomy chapter 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. And it goes on to tell us about how we pass that on, the Father's love to our children as well. And so we celebrate all of our Father, who art. And also honoring our other fathers present today. Father, we do rejoice in you. We rejoice for the privilege to be your children. You are our Father, and what a good Father you are. And we can go on and on and on, but you've given us the privilege also to have earthly fathers who hopefully will reflect you and mirror you and help us who are to do that. And each one of us, whether we're a father or not, have that opportunity and privilege to reflect you. And so we pray that you will help us to be that way today more than ever as we are united together in your family here in your house. And we just want to honor and glorify you in all of it. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Stand and greet. All righty. Today is Father's Day. Yeah, you might want to grab some Kleenex. So, today I want to talk about loving, living, and leaving a legacy. This is a special Father's Day, more than usual, at least in my heart and mind, because it's very significant. Having followed my father here, and now leaving, as you may imagine, I can't help but do a lot of reflecting, have done a lot of reflecting. And yes, Hollis, when I came, there were a lot of people who said, you got big shoes to fill, boy. You're not going to be able to fill those big shoes. And I recognize that. Haven't tried in that sense to fill them, but to my best to follow them. Because, as Paul says to Timothy and others, follow me as I follow Christ. If we have a father who's following Christ, then we want to do our best to follow that example. He's the earthly picture of our Heavenly Father. And I've tried to do that as well. Thank you for the kind word. We're not perfect like our Heavenly Father, but hopefully we try to surrender as best we can to make that possible with his spirit living in us. And so Dad, of course, pastored here for 25 years, and we've been here 23 and a half years since. I thought it would be appropriate, and forgive me if I'm presuming too much, and indulge me, because part of the message, half of the message actually, is going to be watching video of my dad's memorial service. How many were here for that? There's, okay, nobody except for back there, the buyers. And you may or may,
I've never been to a funeral with that many people to it in the
Yeah. Well, no, Ron. It was 300 and some. Just to be accurate. It seemed like it. So just real quickly, yes, it was a big day in the life of this community. And Dad had a ministry in the community. He was a mortician, worked in the funeral home for 25 years as well. Had a lot of different roles. Jerry Phillips, who preached the message, who was the district pastor then, preached the message. The service was 2.5 hours long. Okay, Dale Caulfield complained to me about it afterward. Having worked at the funeral home, we like to keep it to an hour or less. And we borrowed the Baptist church over here, because at that time the Baptist church was the largest facility other than the gymnasium, the high school gymnasium. It seated 350. It was full, so yeah, probably 350. There were people from Montana and all over the place that came as well. So it was significant. And it really implanted in me, which I already knew, but it really implanted in me the significance of Dad's legacy and trying to follow that, so to speak. The one thing I had the assurance of, and what I want to pass on today, is it wasn't about Dad, it was about God. It was about Jesus, who he served. It's why he had the legacy he had. And that's what I want to leave as well. I think we all want to be that way. And I want to encourage each and every one of us, whether we're a father or not, to see Dad's example and to pass it on, as it were. When we have good examples, it's a blessing that we can emulate and do our best to follow that and pass it on to others. And so what I want to do is I've cut it down to 15 minutes of excerpts from Jerry's message. And I've taken portions that I want to piggyback on top of to apply to myself and to pass on to each one of us. So we're going to watch the first of those, which I think is about 7 minutes long. Please.
I stand before you today as a person who had the privilege for nearly 1 year of being Warren Pomeroy's pastor. In the Church of God, we have discovered a great opportunity for congregations to voluntarily unite together in any particular region, to call someone to live among them, and to minister to the pastors and their families. What a great honor it is to be Warren Pomeroy's pastor. I dare say there are more people here today after this living and serving in this community for nearly 26 years than showed up when they first arrived. Would that be close to the truth, Nina? You and Warren and all that you brought with you came to town. I have a hunch that you were the unknown quantity. But what a difference it makes when someone loves the Lord and lives in a community for quite a while. I'm sure there are people here today who have been married at ceremonies in which Warren was the pastor. And there are those of you who have stood beside grave sites and perhaps in the funeral home, the chapel, when Warren assisted your family in saying that last farewell to someone you love so much. And there's others of you who have sat in his study and he was your counselor, whether it be a bar room or the church study. What a powerful counseling ministry he has had. I wonder what it takes to become that kind of person. It's already been observed that there are not too many like Warren. I wonder why. I think it's more than the fact that God individually provides us with gifts of service that enable us to touch people's lives with influence and with love that they cannot forgive. No, it's more than that. I think there's something about the Word of God that each of us have yet to respond to in greater fullness. After all, Warren lived a long time. He and Nina opened their hearts to the Lord a long time ago. God did a great work in their lives. And that's why, together as a team, they have been able to touch so many people with a touch that is very similar to the touch of Jesus himself. That is kindness and gentleness. Conveying not some superficial, temporary compassion, but the real stuff. Kind of a thing that builds memories that you never want to forget. Life-changing stuff. That helps all of us to become what God wants us to be. I submit to you today that because of Warren's life and now because of his death, there is a great work that God is beginning here in the Sandpoint area. And this is just part of it. Oh, I don't mean he hasn't been doing anything before Warren's death, obviously. And I think this is a part of a great plan that God has for you folks. And good will come out of this celebration today. Can't think about Warren Pomeroy without thinking about the words of Jesus as recorded for us in the Gospel of St. John. It helps us to look behind the scenes and understand the working of his heart. How his mind would function. What got him up in the morning and kept him going when he was tired? What helped him to report for duty when it would have been easy because of physical discomfort or even the lack of energy to say, well, maybe later, Lord. This is the kind of thing that was in his heart from the words of Jesus himself. Gene Peterson has taken the Gospel of John and he has made it so refreshing as he's paraphrased these words of our Lord. This is how my Father shows us who he is, Jesus said. When you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples, I've loved you the way my Father has loved me. Make yourselves at home in my love. If you keep my commands, you'll remain intimately at home in my love, and that's what I've done. I've kept my Father's commands, and I've made myself at home in his love. Now, I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy, and your joy wholly mature. This is my command. Love one another the way I love you. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. You are my friends when you do the things I command you. I'm no longer calling you servants because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I've made you friends because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father. You didn't choose me. Remember, I chose you and put you in the world to bear fruit, fruit that won't spoil. As fruit bearers, whatever you ask the Father in relations to me, he gives you. But remember the root command. Love one another.
Is it wrong to love a legacy? Depends on what that legacy is, isn't it? I love my legacy. And I think it's right to. I think we should love what God has blessed and told us to cherish and to remember and to follow. Nothing wrong with that kind of love when it comes from the Father through another father to a son. That's something that I value and cherish and feel deeply honored in today. And I want you to feel free to join in that loving of a legacy. I've shared many times my first memory in life is of coming to an altar in response to a message by an evangelist, giving my heart to the Lord, and that's my first memory, but I'm sure that the 4 years leading up to that, I had seen and heard a lot of things from Mom and Dad that had touched my heart and made it almost automatic for me to be able to respond when the invitation was given. And I consider that a great blessing and privilege. And I love that. And I love my legacy and my inheritance. And Alan has the privilege of reading excerpts from Psalm 16, which expresses that.
I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand.
What a privilege it is for me to be able to say that's me. And my first thing I ever said, Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. And I was able to recognize that the saints in the land, the glorious ones that I like to call them, are all my delight. I loved growing up as a pastor's kid in Eureka, Montana, because my dad had the same kind of reputation there in Eureka, as Jerry Phillips will go on to say. He doesn't make mention of this, but this has been in my office all these years. Dad was the first living person ever inducted into the Tobacco Valley Hall of Fame in the Eureka area, Montana. I don't know if they do Hall of Fames anymore, but this is something I have treasured because it represents how God presented the love of Jesus. Did I say that right? How Dad presented the love of Jesus in that community, in this community, and set an example that I wanted to follow and have endeavored to do so. Lord, you alone are my portion, my cup. You make my lot secure. You make known to me the path of life. You fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures in your hand. I saw the love of God in them, and I wanted that. And I claim that love, God's love, the love of Jesus. I mean, I loved Mom and Dad, but I recognized that it was just a picture of the ultimate love, and that's what I was claiming because of that. Jerry said three things that I wanted to highlight. He said that it was the love of the Lord that Warren presented to the community that made him so loved. It was the love of the Lord. He was touched by Jesus, he said. And that moment that we were sharing together in that service this time in the community is just the beginning. God is just beginning something else. And I want to say that as time has gone on, that continues to be the case. What was the foundation was laid and we have built upon it is just the beginning for what God wants to do going forward. And so we're passing this legacy on. In Deuteronomy, it tells us how to actually build on this foundation and to pass it on. Please, Lula.
Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates.
All of that was my upbringing. I mean, that was fulfilled. That Mom and Dad lived that out. And I tried my best. We tried our best to pass it on, I think successfully, for our daughter. And so it's loving the legacy so much that you live it. Live the legacy, which leads to the second part of this. And so we'll see the next excerpt.
The kind of love that Jesus had given to others was mirrored in the life of Warren Pomeroy. And that's captured the attention of a lot of people, not just in Sanford, but in Montana. think that's something you will remember. What am I mirroring among my family and the people who live to be for friendship with my family? Mormon has been the kind of a neighbor that we all would like to have moved next door to us. It was so good to hear these pastors share. I know what it's like to be the new kid on the block in a community as a pastor. How refreshing to have someone of that spirit, the Warren Pomeroy mirroring of Jesus, that kind of spirit to come along and say, hey, we're glad the Lord brought you to this town. You'll like it here. There are good folks here. They don't all know the Lord yet, but isn't that why the Lord brought us here? To introduce them to Jesus Christ and his marvelous gospel of God's grace. Warren is the kind of friend that cares about us in a way that says he believes more in who we can become than what we have been. I wish that lady could have been here today that was on the table. At least her story was on the table. Wouldn't you like to hear her story of the difference in her life? That the willingness of a fellow to drive down the road a ways and enter into a risk situation and just put his life on the line for Jesus. Warren is the kind of hero that little children and teenagers and adults seek to find. And when they find him, they embrace him. Warren is the kind of a pastor that doesn't breeze through the community on his way to a larger opportunity. But he tends to stay around, that kind of pastor. Imagine 45 years of ministry in two churches. I think the national average is about 2.65 years. More or less, the same. Warren put his life on the line for hundreds of people. And he loved all of us. Way that Jesus spoke of in the gospel. Pastor with the Church of God, funeral director, ambulance driver, justice of the peace, chaplain for the Civil Air Patrol, the list is just on and on. President of the Sandpoint Kiwanis Club, lieutenant governor, that means a larger region of leadership for those of you who are not acquainted with Kiwanis. Helped to establish a daycare center. Francis Daycare Center at the Church of God right here in Sandpoint. Because of these types of things and even more, Warren will be remembered as one of the chosen vessels of God. Remember Jesus said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And not just to flitter away your time, but to make a difference in the lives of other people, to bear fruit, if you believe. So Warren will be remembered as one who was focused in his faith. He was not one who changed his mind about things every time some new wind of doctrine blew through. No, it was settled in his heart. Jesus is the Son of God. He did die on the cross. Because of his death, God has extended mercy and grace to all of us. We are welcome in the house of God because of Jesus Christ. Warren believed these things and lived them. Not only preaching them from a pulpit, but he was a pastor of a church without walls. He was a pastor to your community. And other faithful men of God like him have that same kind of spirit in their word. I know, he told me about you. Warren was also flexible in his service. How many of you have conducted a wedding on the top of a ski summit with the bride and groom on skis? Or how many of you have hopped into a hot air balloon and said, you're forever united? I don't know, some of us might say you're baptized in the name of the Lord. If they step in a hot air balloon, I'm not too sure what would come out of that experience. He was so flexible. While he called me, pastor, I thought of him more as my father in the Lord. And to see a man of his age and maturity in Christ to be embrace new things, as well as not give up on some of the old things. You know, most churches today won't touch a daycare center. They've gotten burned in some way, and they think that daycare centers ought to be somewhere else. Not Lord Conroy. He saw that that was an opportunity to reach out to the boys and girls of Sandpoint that needed someone to care for them while Mom was at work. For many of the parents of daycare children are single parents. What a vision he had. And what flexibility in adapting the work and the life of the church to the needs of the world. No matter what other people or even statistics would suggest otherwise. Warren was also faithful in his leadership, focused in his faith, and flexible in his service, but so faithful in his ministry, always dreaming about the future of his town, his city, always dreaming about the difference that people would experience and make if they would only let Jesus come into their life. Dreaming, always dreaming about the future, while being faithful in the present. That's a winning combination for a pastor, for a husband, for a father, grandfather. A winning combination to be a dreamer while being faithful in the present.
So Dad had a lot of roles in the community. As Jerry said, he was kind of considered the community pastor. Pastored a church without walls, and I think we've done well to carry that on in consideration of a lot of the different things, helping hands, etc., that the church has been a key part of. And we have all been together in that, carrying on the legacy, living the legacy, letting it continue to live in our lives as well. I want to really key in on what Jerry was saying at the beginning. He had told a story about a granddaughter who told the story about going to a Pomeroy family reunion with all these old people, and it wasn't really all that fun of a thing, but what struck her was how much alike the Pomeroy brothers were. Dad was one of seven brothers, had two sisters, and the similarities were striking to her, that they mirrored each other. But Jerry played off of that my dad mirrored Jesus, reflected Jesus, and that's why people loved him so much. And I trust that that can be said of us as well. I look at this, and I don't see Dad, I see Jesus. Because he lived like Jesus was why he was inducted into the Tobacco Valley Hall of Fame. And I've had this picture since about 1974 or so. Mom and Dad came over and visited when I was at college at Warner. And this picture was taken by Mom on top of what they call Rocky Butte there in the middle of Portland. In High Point, you can go up and look all around Portland and just surrounding that. And Dad photobombed me there. But I always thought, you know, we kind of look alike. Although I am more handsome than Dad because I took some of Mom. I got some of Mom in me, and so it made me more handsome. Yeah, more hair. Well, I had to keep these ears covered back then until I got married. But I put on there like father, you know that expression, like father, like son. And I put a question mark on that, like father, like son. And I've had that in the office there to remind myself and to try to, try to inspire me to be like that, and of course to remind me of the scriptures that I was taught as a young boy, implanted in me, never to forget that, to let the God's word continue to live in me. And so there's a good portion of this from Proverbs that Linda's going to read.
Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They are a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Listen, my sons, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me, and he said to me, "Take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands, and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it, wisdom, instruction, and insight as well. The father of a righteous child has a great joy. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. May your father and mother rejoice. May she who gave you birth be joyful."
Yeah, so I want to say quickly a word about mom and dad, which I've shared before. They were a pair. They were one. They were partners in ministry. It wasn't just dad. Mom had her role in the community as well and reflected the love of Jesus in more beautiful ways than dad did sometimes. And this part about not despising your mother when she is old, I've shared with you that when we were pastoring in Kalispell and would come over to Sandpoint to visit, I would think, oh man, I would never want to live in Sandpoint. What a pokey-dunk place, you know? And yet when Dad passed and we had come back from Cyprus to be available just to help Mom, and she specifically, pointedly asked us to consider coming to pastor here in Sandpoint, that was, you know, that was a hard thing to kind of decide on because I didn't really want to. We didn't know the people yet. We didn't know the love that would be experienced here. It was just one of those things, you know. But I listened to God and his word, not despising your mother. And he who does not take care of their family when they're old is considered an infidel, according to Scripture. And I thought, well, this is God's will. I'm here to help Mom. You know, and if the church comes along with it, okay. if that's her request, then so be it. And God has honored that. But there was another thought along with that that I was going to share, and now it's one of those things. So anyway, I just wanted to... And it was also, as Mom got older, she started to lose it up here as well. And she would do and say things that were really frustrating and irritating to me. And I had to confess after the fact that got to me. And I felt like in some ways I despised my mom when I shouldn't have. I didn't really intend to, but reflecting on it. And so I just want to share those things for all of us in our relationships, whether it's a mother or a father or children, whatever it may be, that the most important thing is to keep your eyes on Jesus, to keep your heart open to Jesus, and he will help you in all the relationships that you have, whatever they may be. And that's the key thing. That's living the legacy that has been passed on to you. Ephesians chapter 6, please, Don.
"Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy a long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not embitter your children, so they will become discouraged."
So we're all children. Maybe our parents have passed on. Maybe they haven't. If you have elderly parents, these commands from the Lord continue to apply as they did with me and my mom at the end. And if you're a parent that has children yet, this still applies. We don't have the children I'd hoped for here today, but we all still have those relationships one way or another, and these scriptures apply in our lives. Let's live that legacy as long as we live. Doesn't matter how old we get, and Alma's still willing to be a child of God coming up to take the offering, so that's what counts. So this leads to the third and final excerpt. It's only a minute long, and it'll be a briefer closing on this last point.
"He had such a dream of a home for the pastor who would succeed him. And perhaps, somehow in his heart, he would say, Lord, if you would just John needs a place to pastor. Lord, that we have a home here in town for when that day arrives. There's something about a man who dreams with Jesus. And the plan of God stretches beyond the horizon of our past experience so that we cannot see it in terms of having already taken place. That vision, he helps us to go beyond and to say, Lord, whatever you want, but I have a dream. And I'll do everything I can, Lord, to make it possible. Well, he saw that happen. Because in his heart, he had to do it.
So Dad had a dream, and we've had a dream. And we're seeing the fulfillment of that dream. Dad had this dream that there would be a home available for whoever was to follow him at that point. When they built the home, they didn't know it was going to be us. And I remember Mom saying that when they moved in, which was in October, the same month that Dad was diagnosed with the cancer, which was already too far advanced, he walked in and said, "What have I ever done to deserve this?" Well, he lived there for three months till he really went to what's a much more glorious home. can you imagine the difference between? I mean, it's been great. We love it, and thank you for letting us continue to be there. But Hollis and Kathy aren't going to need the home for a while. We're thankful that we can continue to be in there. But we have a dream for them that doesn't necessarily include a parsonage. It is a dream that the church has had from the beginning. And, you know, Dad was an interim pastor here and also in Eureka, Montana for 18 years. They asked him to fill in there until they could get a new pastor. 18 years later, he finally said that's enough and became a mortician. Moved here to Sandpoint to actually work in the funeral home. Ron Palmer was pastor here at the time. And left after 6 months, and the church said, could you fill in until we get a new pastor? Well, 25 years later, he died, and here we were, available. And it wasn't, as I've shared before, I always thought I'd go out like Dad. We'd be still pastoring until we died, but God knew different. God said, there's a better plan. The church had gone downhill quite a bit under Dad's pastorship because he died and didn't have the energy and all of that. And I remember, you know, I reflected on that. That's not right. That's not the way it should happen. I mean, it'd be nice to follow Dad's footsteps to the very end, but that's not the way it's supposed to be. And God was ahead of us on that, already had Hollis in place and preparing. And it became clear to us, especially when this started becoming more evident, that it's time for someone new. It's time for someone with energy, time for someone with vision that can lead the church forward, and I'm not it. I've had my day, and I see myself as having been a bridge between Dad and Hollis. And it's been a privilege to do that, to be the link, to be the interim, as it were. It's been a long interim, and that way I've followed Dad's example, and that's been a privilege and a blessing. But God's got better things. Jerry Phillips said back then, this was just the beginning of something new in the future. Even after Dad had been here for 25 years, oh, this is just the beginning. And so it is, and it continues. And so we have that privilege to leave a legacy, to love a legacy, to live a legacy, to leave a legacy. And I want to say, again, as I shared last Sunday in the installation service, it's not about Elijah and Elisha. It's about Elohim, only him. And to leave a legacy is to leave Jesus. This is Jesus. Hopefully, that's Jesus being left on. And so I want to just share at the end here these three passages of Scripture that have been key to my whole entire life. And to just make some concluding remarks after that. So, from Joshua, please, Wayne.
Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faith, faithfulness. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord.
So I have this and another one or two of them in the house we've always had in our home since we were married. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Mom and Dad had that same commitment, but it says, you choose. We could have chosen to follow their example or not. We could have chosen to worship and serve the Lord or not. Each generation has to make their own choice. We can love the legacy. We can do our best to live it. But if we don't choose to, it's not going to be ours. And we must claim it for ourselves. And so that is what we have done, and that's what we're what I'm saying to you today, you have to make your own choice, okay? You can love the example and embrace it, say, yeah, that's me, I'm going to do that also, but you have to make the choice. When Dad came out, Mom and Dad came out when I graduated from seminary, and Dad preached the message for my ordination service, which was, again, one of my favorite memories. He used this text out of Isaiah 44:5.
Some will say, I belong to the Lord. Others will call themselves by the name of Jacob. Still others will write on their hand, the Lord's, and will take the name Israel.
And that was really significant to me. And I was not familiar with that passage before that. But Dad broke it down like this. Some will say, I belong to the Lord. He said, Nina and I, when we had Jonathan, dedicated him to the Lord, and we said, he belongs to the Lord. And then others will call themselves by the name of Jacob. And he said at some point, and Dad didn't remember that at the age of 4 I had come to the altar. And because I was one of many at that, and it was in the middle of a big revival service and all that, so it didn't catch Dad's attention necessarily that that was the beginning for me. But he said at some point John, you know, made the choice himself and called himself by the name of Israel. And then thirdly, he said, and today we celebrate others writing on his hand or his head, or here's a piece of parchment that says he belongs to the Lord. And that was very meaningful to me as well, that others affirmed and confirmed that had been my choice. And so I want to pass that on to you as well, and know that there may be someone who dedicated you or said you belong to the Lord, but you then at some point had to make your own choice. And if you live out the legacy, even more will say, yeah, that person belongs to the Lord. And I want you to make that your goal and desire as well. Finally, Psalm 45.
Your sons will take the place of your fathers. You will make them princes throughout the land. I will perpetuate your memory through all generations. Therefore, the nations will praise you forever and ever.
I can't think of a better passage to summarize what I've wanted to say all today. And hopefully this will bring it down to a real, what do you call it, a nut? Your sons will take the place of your fathers, and you will make them princes throughout the land. I have been a prince in Sandpoint because of taking the place of my father. But here's the most important part. I will perpetuate your memory throughout all generations. Therefore, the nations will praise you forever and ever. David reflects on the inheritance he had, the legacy he received, but what he wants to leave, what he wants to perpetuate is the name of the Lord. Again, this is not the church of God. Did I say that? Thank you for being patient with me all these years. This is not the church of Pomeroy, never has been. Wasn't the church of Warren, wasn't the church of John. It's not going to be the church of Stewie. It's not the church of Byers. It's not the church of any of our names. It's the church of God. We'll always be the church of God. And that's the legacy I want to leave. Anyone who gets hung up on me is misguided, way misguided, because it's all about him. It's about Jesus. And Barry Johnson said last Sunday in the installation service, shared something that I was already planning. I whispered to Lula next to me. I was already planning on it. Use that today, I told Lula. He said, when I retired, sharing his own experience, said he thought of that song by Casting Crowns, "I don't want to leave a legacy, only Jesus." Well, I do want to leave a legacy, and it is Jesus. So there's a little bit of that song that I disagree with. I do want to leave a legacy, but it's not me. It's not Dad. It's Jesus, only Jesus. So I'm sharing my heart today. The history of this church for the last 50 years nearly, and where God is leading us. I do believe with all of my heart, God has bigger and better things planned for this church. I'm so thankful to have been a part of laying the groundwork and preparing the way for that. And I just ask the whole church to embrace that, to affirm it, and say, yes, Lord, we want to be a part of what you've been working toward all these years. Only Jesus. Anita?
When I first became a Christian, your dad was my father. And as we grew, we struggled. And I remember one night, midnight, we were struggling, and Father was really didn't know what to do. And I called your dad, and he was there. He came over.
Thank you so much, Anita. Appreciate that. It's all about Jesus, right? Yeah. Only Jesus. So let's all embrace that and affirm that as we stand together to sing Only Jesus. As always, the altar is open if you desire to pray.
Make it count, leave a mark, build a name for yourself. Dream your dreams, chase your heart above all else. Make a name. to remember.
Father, you know that's the prayer of our hearts this morning. Thank you that it's okay to love a legacy that is Jesus. Thank you that it's good to live a legacy that's Jesus. Thank you that it's best to leave a legacy that's Jesus. Thank you that we can celebrate all three stages of life. When it's all about you. Help us, Lord, when we make it about us. Help us if we make it about anyone else in our lives except you. And yet we can love and appreciate and celebrate what you do through others and how others mirror you and reflect you as well. It's our heart's desire to mirror and reflect you in such a way that we always lift you up and people look to you. That's our heart's desire. Thank you, Lord, that you make that possible in our frailties and our weaknesses and our sinfulness. By your Spirit, when we surrender fully to your Spirit, that you are the one who lives in us. You're the one that does the good things. You're the one that shows compassion and mercy, and people are drawn to you as a result. What a privilege we have for you to live in us and through us. Thank you for making that possible through your death and resurrection, your Holy Spirit, and your word working together in our lives. Help us, Lord, today and this day to make a new and fresh commitment, to surrender, to die to ourselves, to live to you. To love, to live, and to leave you with others. Thank you, Father, that we do have a great cloud of witnesses who are watching us, who are praying for us, who are cheering us on. When our day comes, may that be the case for us. And people will know that we're there too, cheering them on. Praying for them. We continue to lift up those in our midst who are going through the grief process, who have lost loved ones, and who know where they're at and can celebrate that and look forward to the time that we're all together again around the throne celebrating you and what you've done for us to make it possible for eternity. We continue to lift up those who are needing your healing touch physically. Cheryl, who's gone through her surgery, thank you, Lord, that was successful. We pray your continued healing for her. We pray for Jimbo's back, that you'll continue to bring healing to him. For Sherry, with what she's dealing with coming up here shortly as well. We pray for Don's son, Pat, as he's dealing with his pancreatic issues. Help him to look to you in this time, we pray. We continue to lift up Sue to you and Bulldog and little Colton and others that are needing your healing touch. Thank you, Lord, that you're with each one of these and you're proving yourself faithful and true as the great physician. And others that I'm forgetting, you don't. Thank you for that, Lord. And that you are at work in the lives of each one of these. And as I've reflected on my privilege growing up, And following Dad, I can't help think again of my brother Chiz and Tom's sister Diane, others that are away from you. Lord, it's not too late. We continue to lift them to you and pray your grace and mercy and miraculous work and intervention in their lives. Help them come to that point to see their need for you and to surrender their lives to you. Thank you, Lord, for these and many other concerns and praises your people will lift to you as well. Thank you.
You are more valuable.
Yes. Thank you.
And everything on earth here has no value.
Yes.
Just ourselves. And I just pray for your will. And whatever happens is what you have. It's not my will. It's your will.
Yes. Thank you, Father, for Julie's heart and her attitude and her care for her mother. And, Lord, we just pray that you would work your will both in her mom and through the circumstances surrounding Julie. And I appreciate her testimony. Whatever your will is, Lord, that's the best. And you've promised if we seek first your kingdom, all these other things will be added. And so we just claim that for Julie today. Thank you, Lord. God is good. All the time. He's a good, good Father. Thank you, Father. You are a good, good Father. We love you. We honor and celebrate you today. As always, Lord, help us as we go from your house to be sensitive to your Spirit's leading and obedient to follow your will, not only for our own sake, but for the sake of all those we love and care for and have opportunity with. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated unless you're a father. Stand up. Dads, we got something for the fathers here today, quickly before we go. And men like you go the distance for God. And we've talked a little bit about the measure of a man today. And so we have some measuring sticks. It says, Father's love is beyond measure. It's got a tape measure. It's got a leveler there. And it's got a little kind of pen for the post-it notes under that Father's love is beyond measure. And so Alma's passing them out today. Normally our kids would do this, but so fathers, Alma, come on up, and I get to keep this one. No, that's from the church. That's from the church.
Yeah, this is from the church. But the kids and I started didn't get finished.
Oh, okay.
I lost my student.
Yeah. All right. We appreciate your ministry, Alma. Thank you so much. Okay, and back there. Okay, get out of here. We love you.